Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast with your hosts, Chris, and from PlayLikeAJet.com, Mr. Sharman Phillip. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Liftoff Jets. You can follow myself at CP7NY. You can follow Sharman at GrownFolk1980. You can find our podcast wherever you find your podcasts, at Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. You can also find us at SportsWireRadio.org. And you can follow the station manager there, Thomas Bryce, at Thomas Bryce 2017, for all the other scheduling of all the other great shows that are on there. So, Sharman, another great performance by our Jets in a loss against the Browns. We don't even need to get into the game because we've seen this game, I think, a few times already. So, we know how this game went.
So, there's not too much we could do. We know our quarterback is limited in what he could do. He can't really throw the ball down the field accurately even. He can't, you know, he's a subpar NFL player. Not even that. He's below that. So he's basically he can't will this offense. He can't will this offense into anything. And as a quarterback, you have to at least do that sometimes. And he can. And every chance that you get, you see what is the engine of this offense. It is Breece Hall and it is Garrett Wilson. And when the ball is in their hands, the offense looks superior. When the ball can't get to them, the offense looks anemic, like it's supposed, like it is. Our defense has suffered from a lot of things. We'll be speaking in depth about this offense and this season. I didn't even tell Chris this because off record, I had a conversation with James Wighouse, which is every year we at least have him once or twice. We're gonna have him on at some point, and we're gonna do a complete seasonal breakdown of everything that has gone wrong. And we'll go in depth, a little bit more in depth, probably next week. Or I will get back to you guys on that, Chris. My bad. I'm supposed to let you know. But there is absolutely there's not too much to unpack. We know what it is. We know who are the players that could stick around, that could help this offense. We know the weaknesses. We know the strengths of this team. And all we could do as a fan base is hope that at some point during this offseason that they wake up and they really self-evaluate and take into account what the issues are and fix it.
Yeah. There's a lot of holes, though, that they're going to have to fix this offseason. That's the problem. Do we have confidence in our GM to fix all those holes? And do we have confidence that our coaching staff will be able to work with whatever Douglas gives them this coming season to put together a winning season? That's where I'm losing confidence, because this whole season, and you've seen it and every other Jet fan seen it, penalties on top of penalties all season. And what is that? That to me goes back to coaching.
There's several things that go back to coaching, Chris. I mean, we've spent a couple of weeks talking about how bad the offensive line is. And part of what offensive line play is technique, skill level. But a lot of it is, a lot of being an offensive lineman is pride. And a lot of it is about the teaching and the coaching and how you go about performing the task at hand. Well, if you're committing multiple penalties per game, which is pre-snap penalties, right? It's either you're not studying enough and you don't know what time the ball is supposed to be snapped, and you're not in tune with the game plan to that level, which is on the coach, or you miscommunicate to the level where almost, I don't know. There's guys that know offensive line play way more than me. There's guys I follow that know that stuff like the back of their hand. But the one thing I will tell you I know is if duo is supposed to look a certain way, I will tell you, yes, that's what it is. There's definitely certain concepts that I am not familiar with because they run them back to front. They run them front to back. They kind of flip them. So, yeah, there's sometimes you could kind of trick me because I haven't watched enough tape like those guys have to kind of tell you that's not what this is. If I watch the play like five different times, by the fifth time, I could tell you, yes, that's duo, or that's power, or that's dive, or that's, you know, or that's wide zone or mid zone. At some point, I'll tell you. And thanks for Joe Blew It, because he, part of the reason why I've learned a lot about these things is because I followed him for a while. But the Jets have a propensity for guys not being where they're supposed to be or being confused at what their job is supposed to be, depending on what the play call is. If that's happening too many times a game, that means the coaching is not working. So at the end of the day, we could list them. On offense, the Jets are suffering from a coaching problem. As simple as that. We go to earlier in the season, we could go to the fact that the Jets had issues running concepts. The concepts did not take into account who was the more skilled or gifted players on offense. Breece Hall wasn't running a lot of receiving routes, or he wasn't running enough routes, right? Garrett Wilson was not moved around enough to give him free releases. That's part of coaching, understanding the kind of guys you have and using them to the best of their ability. And yes, there's been a little bit more of that, but it still isn't enough. It's not close to being enough. So again, we could list a ton of things about this offense that is just falls directly on the fact that the coaches have failed these players over and over again. But also, we could also point out that some of these players are just not made for the roles that they were asked to play. Simple as that.
Right. No, it's true. With all the injuries, but I hate that excuse every year. And we keep saying that same excuse every season. Oh, well, this guy got hurt and that guy got hurt. We could say that about every team in the league. Someone gets hurt on their team that's a major player on that team, and they get hurt. But they figure it out. They move on. They get a new player. Next man up. They find somebody on waivers. They make a trade. Something. And I feel like our team has done nothing this year to get better. And I think that's a problem going into the next season or two with Aaron Rodgers, where it's win now. There's no more, there's no more building towards, in 2 years. Oh, we'll be good. No, we're building towards next season and maybe the season after, because we are stuck with Aaron Rodgers. And we have to pray and cross our fingers that this guy returns to his old self and doesn't get hurt, and he's 100% next season. And has to build this championship team in one off season now. Now he's got one off season. Right? That's basically what I do.
And if you're delusional and you don't believe that you need too much help and you don't need to add too much to this team, and you just need a healthy Aaron Rodgers, or you just need to move a couple pieces here and there. If you think that's your problem, then you're never going to be a championship team.
No.
It does not matter if you have Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback or not. And if you think for some reason, which I'm probably jumping the gun a little bit because Chris was going to bring up the subject probably after this. But if you think that this offense has surely improved over the last four games, I have a bridge in Brooklyn I could sell you, like my friend tweeted earlier.
But that's the other thing, right? Like, that's the mindset of this franchise. Like, look what this team has done the last couple of years under this GM and under this coaching staff. They've done absolutely nothing. They built a really good defense, but other than that, they've built nothing. Not a winning team, not a winning culture, nothing.
Chris, I will say this, and this is the bad. This is the worst stuff. I think the worst thing about this whole scenario with Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh. I think one of the worst things about this is that the Jets had been so bad for so long that what Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas gave us is good enough for some of us. That's how bad we were. Because if you watch enough football, you cannot tell me that they were adequate. They were adequate in any way. Yes, they drafted multiple players that will be the Jets for multiple seasons. That's true. But that's just part of the job. That's a small percentage of the job. You got to get the guys. That's part of it. It's almost like you tell me I got to cook and I got to get ingredients. So how the hell am I going to cook if I don't have ingredients?
Right.
That's my job if I'm going to cook.
Right.
I shouldn't get a pat on the back because I got scallions and onions and garlic or butter and oil and stuff. No, why should I get a pat? That's automatic. It's supposed to happen. Joe Douglas was supposed to go out and get guys. He did. He got guys. He got AVT. He got Garrett Wilson. He got Sauce Gardner. He got guys. I am not giving him a pass for that. Though he has done better at acquiring talent, which is ridiculous because that's how bad things were for us. He's acquired better talent than most of the GMs we've had in a long time. We could agree on that. But I'm sorry. I'm not giving you a pass on that. You know why I'm not giving you a pass on that? Because the part of your interview when you came in, or the part of your first conference where you said, I'm going to protect Sam Darnold.
We know how that went.
We knew automatically that you were going to get ingredients because you were about to cook. Right?
Yeah.
But if you didn't have enough heat to the pan, or you had too much heat on the pan, that's where I'm coming in and going like, can you cook? Because if you put butter in the stove on a high heat, everybody that cooks knows butter will burn. So if I walk into the kitchen and your butter is burning, I would like surmise that you're not the best of cooks. So if you told me you was a guru offensive line guy that was an offensive line man and you understand acquiring offensive line talent and you failed multiple times at getting those, you're not a good cook. I'm sorry. People will kill me for saying he's failed as a GM. I'm sorry. I can't put more soap in my mouth than I am.
Oh, he definitely
has.
And the coaching staff, you could say, has failed too. I'm not going to give Saleh a pass on this because he's the head coach. He's got to figure this out, right? So, yeah, it started at the top, but the failures have dripped into the coaching staff, at least on the offensive side for sure. Defensive side, yeah, we got a really good defense. Are there holes on the defense? Sure. Obviously, we've seen that. Especially
there's holes in a lot of defenses. Yeah. I'm not mad at that.
Not perfect. No, of course not. But
I'm not mad at that. This is to me, when you build an NFL team, offense and defense, the way our defense is basically how your team is supposed to be. We have a handful of incredibly talented players that at any given moment in a game, they could make an incredible play, right? But they also have players that are not on that level, that cannot play on that level. So guess what? The team, any given Sunday, you'll see them, they'll play for a streak where they look unbeatable and then certain guys make certain mistakes, you know. Safety, our dear safety. Make mistakes, but that's just how it is. But they have these streaks where they look so good because they're ultra talented. Well, that's supposed to be on the offense the same way. The problem is there's not enough of the talent, and there's not enough of the cohesion that's going on defense on offense. That's the problem. And let's look at it for what it is. The guys on defense, a lot of the guys on defense that are actually stars on the defense, right? These guys were guys that were in that was hiding somewhere, and they went to get them. Who was Bryce Huff? Bryce Huff was a what? And they actually coached him into being an actual somebody that the ESPN speaks about almost every Sunday, no?
Yep.
Right? Jermaine Johnson, right? No. Oh, he fell all the way he was in the first round, but he fell lower than it. Oh, you know, I remember when he was picked, everybody was like, yeah, you know, he's very talented, you know. But, you know, he's just kind of a second-tier pass rusher. You see how much they coached him up to be?
Yep.
He's a dangerous dude. And every game, at least one time, he does something where you're like, oh my goodness, right? You know what Sauce Gardner is. You know what Reed is, right? That's coaching on the defense, doing what they're supposed to do. Now look on offense and tell me where you see the same things happen.
No, not at all. Not at all.
You don't. The players that we've seen that they're picking on offensive line, none of them shine. None of them. There's a couple guys that make play a couple, half a game or play a few games here and there. They're pretty good. Some of them got injured. I don't have a problem with that.
You got to give them two. And Vera Tucker.
Right? Listen. Don't get me wrong. Tippmann, the way he's trending.
Yep.
He could be something very special. And we know what AVT is. But where they at? Where the others at? Right? Yep. We know Garrett. We know what Garrett Wilson is. You know. We know what Breece Hall is. But the problem is there is the foundation of that offense is missing. And because of the foundation is leaky, the guys cannot perform the way they want to. That's the difference on the defense. The foundation of the defense is the D-line. And they ain't leaking. They're the one. They're the best part of that defense. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem on offense. And as a GM, if you fail to do that, if you fail to build up the offensive line by allowing for talent for the coaches to coach up, then you got a problem. And if you have guys that you think that are coachable or could be coached up, and your coaches ain't coaching them up, then we got a problem. And we got a problem.
Yeah. But, and right, the bigger problem is all these guys are coming back next year. That's what I think is nuts. They got to get a different, at the very least, a new offensive line coach. That guy Carter's got to go. I mean, what's going on this year? How can you say, oh, yeah, bring him back? Like, how can somebody make the argument to bring him back? How can you defend him?
All what I said about the offensive line.
Right.
But he's good enough to come back. I just saw that Roger Saffold got signed to an offer waivers.
Yep.
Ask me why Roger Saffold never wanted to be or never was able to play.
They said he wasn't ready. Wasn't that the excuse? He wasn't ready to play football?
Okay. I hate being that guy, but go back before in the preseason when I said there were rumors floating out there that Kevin Carter and the veteran players on the Titans, the veteran offensive linemen, had a falling out because he kept treating them like they're 19-year-old guys coming into the league, and they felt like he was overworking them. And he wouldn't listen to, even if they were incredibly experienced guys, like the guys you know. If you remember that offensive line, remember, there wasn't a bunch of young guys on that line. That line was incredibly experienced guys. So you're telling me you're around trying to push around dudes that's 9-10 years deep in the league. And nobody wanted to follow you to the Jets. And we don't have a problem.
Right.
Okay. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, it was bad. I just, and now this week, I know everybody wants to beat the Patriots this week. It would be great, especially with possibly this is Belichick's last game as a Patriot. But we know it's a meaningless game. This game means absolutely nothing. Even if we beat them, it means nothing. I get that we're stopping the streak and all that.
Stopping the streak. Oh, my God.
It means nothing. It means
nothing. This team, this Patriots team that we're playing is so flawed that they're us.
Right.
For the first time in decades, the Patriots are actually basically play like the Jets. I don't know if you watched the Patriots game last Sunday. The Patriots threw three interceptions in the first quarter.
Yep.
which Patriots team does that? You remember the Patriots that we hate, the ones that we wanted to beat, they don't exist anymore. So winning against this team is ridiculous. Who? Why? For what? And on top of all of that, to quell all the frothing that's happening right now because of what I said, listen to what I'm going to say. The Patriots' defense is susceptible to bombs and big plays. You know what we don't do as an offense?
We don't do that.
Don't make big plays, or we don't throw bombs. What we try to do, we try to run the ball. Guess what the Patriots do very well? And they're ranked at the top of the league at doing it. They stop the run very well. If you watch the Buffalo Bills struggle at trying to run the ball against the Patriots, if you watch the Patriots all season, there's not too many teams that run the ball all over them. They're still one of the best teams at playing man coverage and one of the best teams at stopping the run. That's what they do. The problem is they don't have that much talent at corner like they used to anymore and at safety like they used to anymore. So you could kind of get them. But our quarterback can't throw the ball that far, that accurately.
Yep.
And the offense don't generate big play. I don't know what to tell you. So even if you want to beat them, the chances are we're not winning. So there you go.
Right. So, yeah, it's probably going to be one of those ugly, meaningless games that we've been seeing for most of this season and most of the last couple of seasons. So it's going to be a frustrating end to a season that was frustrating from before the season even started. It was frustrating for all of us, but with a lot of high hopes, but it ended up where where it is right now, where we're worrying about draft position and, oh, can we beat the Patriots for the first time in God knows how many years now. It's going to be an ugly game. Hopefully we lose. It's sad, right, that we're rooting for a loss at this point. I want to root for wins, and we're rooting for a loss so we can move up, you know, to a higher draft position and be in a better position to either draft an offensive lineman or possibly trade down and all that stuff. So anyway, that'll get straightened out, and we'll definitely get into that. But so let's get into the rest of the playoffs. Playoff picture that's kind of rounding out right now, going into the last week. A bunch of teams have already clinched. AFC Ravens, they got the number one seed. Kansas City Chiefs has clinched their division. And the Browns have clinched their wild card spot, and the Dolphins have clinched a playoff spot. Miami and Buffalo play this week, Sunday night, for the divisional title. And Buffalo could still actually miss the playoffs. There is a situation if they lose and other teams have to lose as well. But
yes,
that's going to be interesting to watch. But there are a couple of big games coming up this week. That's one, obviously. But how about, I think to me, the bigger game, or just as big, as Houston at Indianapolis?
Yes. Yes. Houston. Yeah. Because if Houston wins,
they're in, I believe. Let me see.
If they win, or if Jacksonville lost or tied.
Right.
They're in. Yes.
Yep. So that's and Indianapolis, and again, this is two teams that we were not talking about early in the season making the playoffs. I don't think anybody had these teams making the playoffs.
Yeah. very well. We've spoken about the Houston Texans, incredible coaching job by what's his name? Former linebacker for the Houston Texans and former defensive coach for the 49ers. DeMeco Ryans, thank you, Chris. He's done an incredible job, man. And as much as the coaching is good, pay attention to the talent and the kind of players that they have, which, again, it just goes back to everything I've been saying. Relentless, tireless hunger. Every position, linebacker, defensive tackle, defensive end, safety, wide receiver, running back, everybody, all on like tunnel vision. We want to show the NFL that we are to be respected. That's it. Every Sunday they play like that, and every play they play like that. Wide receiver Tank Dell is like 100 and what is he? Like 180 pounds. He's not even 180 pounds. On running plays, he's running there, throwing his body at dudes trying to block. He's doing it for his guys. You know, that's, to me, that's the kind, that's a GM getting players that fit the narrative. There's guys that's willing to do what it takes for the team to win. And hey, it's awesome. But when you look at the other side of the Colts, it's the same thing. Did we think the Colts would win 9 games this season?
No. Or the Texans, to be honest.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. These guys, if you have the kind of injuries and you're taking players like the former linebacker that they had, that was their star linebacker, and like shipping him out of town and moving guys out of town, you're that confident that you're that good? Oh yeah, we know what we're doing. And yeah, we're gonna rack up 9 wins in 2023. Everybody was laughing. They did it. Yep. And they're a game away from making it into the playoffs. You know? And I gotta give them the kudos, man. The Indianapolis Colts showed me something, man. A lot of youth, a lot of talented guys playing football, playing good football. And that's going to be a good game. I got to watch that.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, speaking of linebackers being shipped out, we shipped out a linebacker who's become a star in Houston, right? Blake Cashman.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. I mean, that's the craziest thing. But I don't think that's one of those scenarios where I don't blame the Jets for. It was just unfortunate.
It was always
the kid could never get healthy. And as soon as he left New York and he was able to get healthy, he became the player I thought that the Jets thought he was going to be. That's why they drafted him, you know. And he's saying his coverage skills is what the Jets wanted. He was known to be an incredibly fast, incredibly quick guy. And that's what he's done. They use him on blitzes. They use him in coverage. And he's one of the better coverage linebackers. And he has like a ton of tackles. This is crazy. You know, how good he's played and how he fits in what they do.
And that game's going to be on Saturday night on ABC. Now, during the day on Saturday, there's another game which really could mean nothing. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Baltimore has everything clinched. But Pittsburgh still has a chance to make the playoffs. And Lamar Jackson and other guys are not going to be playing for the Ravens. So Pittsburgh has a chance here to win the game and to kind of sneak into the playoffs. You know, they need a win. They need Buffalo to lose. So this is going to get interesting. I mean, can Pittsburgh, you know, surprise and kind of squeak back into the playoff picture, which is amazing when you look at that team, how bad that offense is. And they're sitting at 9-7 with a chance to get in the playoffs. Talk about coaching, right?
Man, I'm telling you. The Steelers, they do that every year, man. They do that every year. Because again, like you said, the coach is phenomenal. But they also have players that they use to the best of their abilities. Their two outside linebackers are two of the best in the NFL. Guys that could rush the passer and drop into coverage when they need to, And it's and a lot of their defensive lineups are so simplistic that that it's kind of infuriating. Because you're like, oh yeah, I know you could play a ton of match coverage and, you know, all this palms and all this stuff you could play. The Steelers don't play an incredibly exotic defense at all. It's very, very simplistic. And it's kind of infuriating to watch them play it and still beat teams up the way they do. That is, again, like you said, goes back to the coaching, and he knows how to what tune to play for those guys so they could dance, because they dance, man. Every year they do it. So even in the face of such, again, goes back to show you, this team should not be where they are. Their line, their quarterback can't do none right. How in an offensive NFL can you not have a quarterback? Because they don't. And still win 9 games.
Not a great offensive line either, so they're not exactly running the ball, you know.
Well, Chris, again, this I'm gonna tell you, this is how coaching works, right? The offensive line is not that great. But guess what? Understanding the players you have and the scheme that you're gonna call helps your offensive line. We as fans, we're the ones that call players trash. Almost every offensive lineman that is in the league could play offensive line. Of course, there is a huge chasm between the level they could play at and who the starters, where the level is. But that does not mean on a given Sunday they can't execute an NFL offense. There's a reason why they were drafted, right? Yep. It's up to the coaches to find a way to get them to play. They don't need to hold blocks for long. They don't need to do anything. It's a lot about will. And these guys are out there and they want to kick butt. That's what it is. And it's the Steeler way. We know how it is. It's the AFC North way in reality, because everybody over there is about kicking butt. But again, like I said, this is what coaching is. Understanding your players and understanding how the system will work for them. They got guys that fit well into what they do. And they might not play the best overall all game because, man, there's some of those guys that give up a ton of pressures a season. They look kind of bad sometimes in pass protection, sometimes even in run protection, in run blocking. They get blown up. But guess what, Chris? It happens less than you think. So they win more than they lose.
Yeah.
Because they're not individuals. They're playing as an offensive line together. And a lot of the times, the reason why the Steelers, like the game they won where they just run the ball over whoever they were playing, I can't remember who it was off the top of my head. It's because that's what they do. The running back has been struggling all season. Boom, all of a sudden he's stiff arming guys, running in for touchdowns. Hey.
So change their OC too.
Yeah, exactly. So guess what? We're going to come in, we're going to use fresh eyes, we're going to look at our players. What do they do best? We're going to use them for that. And that's what has changed the Steelers since they fired Canada.
And it sounds pretty simple. Like, it's almost like we should be doing that too, or we should have been doing that. So, but anyway, that's a whole other story, right?
Yes.
All right, so let's keep it with the NFC anyway. This way we'll jump to the we'll stick to the AFC, I'm sorry, and then we'll jump to the NFC. The other big one, Jacksonville goes to Tennessee. Jacksonville wins. They win their division. If they lose, the winner of the Indianapolis-Houston game clinches the division.
Yep.
So
Jacksonville is they're capable of doing more.
Oh, yeah.
But the crazy thing about it is that, are they going to do more? That's the thing. Sometimes they play down to their opponents, in my opinion, a lot. And it does not make any sense, because this is – you think good – you have a pretty good positive outlook on Peterson as a coach, right?
Yeah.
And I just don't understand where they could play. You watch them play, right? And they will go – they have this shaky type way of – going down the field where, you know, like couple incompletions, then a massive 20-something yard throw from Lawrence to what's his name, the wide receiver they have. That's probably gonna get a big payday.
Ridley.
Yes, Ridley. You know, then they'll get a massive run and then they'll get two penalties and you're like, what the hell is this? That's how they play. Every time I watch them play, there's nothing really smooth about them. It's always like it's almost like as a Jags fan, you got to sit there chewing on your fingernails all the time. And I as a fan, I would say probably they're asking more for a little bit more smooth, a little bit more streamlined offense where, hey, guess what? We're going to have this beautiful drive. We're going to do that more often, right? And I think that would help their defense, who is talented and young, but always falling prey to the fact that offense is so unstable in a lot of times, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I have a kind of a love-hate relationship with the Jags. I think they should be better than they are, but unfortunately, I don't know. You just don't know. If you would call, that's the cardiac cats.
Yeah.
If anything, that's who they are for me.
And I think it starts at quarterback. I think, you know, I think Trevor Lawrence has been good, really good at times. And then he's been kind of, like you're saying, he's been kind of shaky at times too. And then he got hurt, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So I think that had something to do with it as well. And then the defense, like you said too, the defense has been good at times, and then it's a little shaky at times.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, I think it starts at the quarterback position, and it's kind of, you know, because when he has a good game, they're usually
everybody does. Yep. You're right. When he's playing well, everything is rolling. You're right. I agree with you on that.
Because their defense is not like, let's say, a top defense, but it's a pretty good defense.
Yeah, because they have a lot of talent. They have on every level of that defense, there's a guy.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like the Jet defense where they'll stay in the game. They'll keep you in the game. You know, I don't think the Jaguars have that type of defense. But
they're talented enough.
Right.
Yes.
But if you're scoring, they'll be like, all right, we're in. You know, like then they can at least stay with the game. You know, they might.
I think what you're trying to say is, I think that the defense is, the scheme works better when this team is scoring point, because then you could let loose the hounds of hell, like, you know, Josh Allen, you know, because he's having an incredible season, man. You know, he is what we thought he was, man. You got to say that.
Scoring, absolutely.
Yeah, so you could do that, but then if you're gonna just line up and you're able to, as an offense, run the ball down their throats, and you can't count on their offense because their offense is going three and out and three and out, yeah, you could take advantage of them. But they are fast, they could run, they could cover on defense, but I think, you know, you could hit them over their head a couple times and they'll kind of crumble because they're not getting enough output consistently from their offense.
And the other game, well, the final game in the AFC that will determine playoff is Buffalo at Miami. They're playing for the division. Miami's already in the playoffs. Buffalo's not already in. So if they lose, they better hope that. I think the only thing they could hope for is if Pittsburgh loses and Houston and Indianapolis end in a tie. So Buffalo needs this win regardless. You know, obviously if they win, they're going to win the division, but they need to win or they got to pray for some weird stuff to happen for them to get in the playoffs. So, and we've been talking about Buffalo now for the last couple of weeks where they're starting to finally not rely on Josh Allen and, you know, Josh Allen versus everybody, you know, instead of it's Josh Allen versus everybody, it's actually the Buffalo Bills playing as a team more, it looks like, especially on offense. And their defense really well. And Miami took a huge blow last week, right, with the cup going down. So now they got two edge rushers both out, him and Phillip. Mm. That's huge.
Yep. Yeah, that's massive, man, especially at the time. The timing is horrible. Everybody had injuries. and they were able to bring their players back. Unfortunately, for them, it's happening at the most inopportune time. And it's just sad to see because you know, given the chance of them exploding on offense is pretty high, you could unleash Phillips and Chubb and get at some folks, right? And make a good run in the playoffs. But if you're not going to have a pass rush in an offensive league, I don't know what to tell you, man. You know, it's not going to be a good look. I think overall, the fact that they were underperforming against premium talent is kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Sorry about that. You know, so I don't know how far they would get because they really, throughout the season, haven't proved that they were elite. That they on offense, they've looked elite at times, but not consistently enough, and that's the problem. Overall, I mean, for both teams, this is a big deal, but I think this is a bigger deal for Buffalo, in my opinion, because again, crowned the darlings of the NFL, they were supposed to go to the Super Bowl last year, and they were on a losing streak. They looked out of the, you know, they lost six games. This team, in my opinion, every time I watch them play, this is not a six game losing team. How do you lose that many games in a season when you have the kind of talent that you have? It makes no sense. And it just seems that they really needed to change the way they play offense. And they were attempted to, and they've looked cleaner in the last couple of weeks except against the Patriots, because I don't know, man. This game planning for playing a team when you watch the tape against the Patriots, right? Like I said before, you do not think that you could just go and like fight the 300. You know what I mean? Even if you had 10,000 soldiers, because as history says, they mowed down more than 10,000 guys, couldn't kill them, right? That's what the Patriots are. The Patriots, you can't run the ball against them. You can't. But if you kind of found a way to go around them when they weren't looking, you know, i.e. throw the ball over their heads, yeah, you have a better chance at doing that, you know, because they give up a lot of big plays down the field. And you just happen to have two wide receivers that are good at that in Davis and Diggs. For some reason, I don't know what the deal is. Diggs is not getting that many snaps. Hey, for a couple of years now, we were talking about Diggs. I don't want to spend time talking about him, but I worry about the fact that they didn't go into this game and torch the crap out of the Patriots defense, because they have the opportunities to do that, and their offensive line didn't block well enough. And the Patriots, at the point of attack, in my opinion, won more than they were supposed to, and made that game way closer than it should have been. And that's what worries me about the Bills. Because if they really want to go on a run, they need to step up, man. They really do.
The Bills, all their losses have come within six points or less, right? Them opening night, right, 22-16. They lost to Jacksonville, 25-20. They lost to New England in October, 29-25. They lost to Cincinnati, 24-18. They lost to Denver, 24-22. And then their last loss came against Philly, 37-34. So every game has been close for them on the games that they lost. So they were all winnable, obviously. But
my question is the reasoning behind. Why are they in these situations? That's my question.
Yeah. We've been talking about it for a long time, why they're
exactly
situations.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's jump to the NFC. Basically, everything is clinched but one spot. The 49ers obviously got the one seed. The Lions clinched their division. Cowboys, with a win, naked clinched their division. The Rams clinched a playoff berth. And the Eagles, with a win and a Cowboy loss, could clinch their division, but they already clinched the berth. So one spot is open four, I think it's four teams, Green Bay, Seattle, New Orleans, and Minnesota, I think all have a shot at this last one. And I think Green Bay, if they win, they have it.
Yeah.
If they win, they get it. So after that, there's a lot of, if they lose, then that opens up the door for a lot of teams to open, you know, to get in. So let's see what Minnesota, they're playing at Detroit. And I'm not, I didn't hear anything about Detroit benching anybody this week or resting anybody this week. So Detroit might be going out to win this game. Oh, you know why? Because if they win and maybe if Dallas loses, am I reading that right? No.
No, I don't think that. I don't think that that's still open, is it?
Yeah, no, I think the Lions, I think the Lions are locked into the two, to the two.
Yeah, yeah, they're locked in, yes.
Yeah, so I think, that's interesting. Yeah, they're not benching anybody. At least I didn't hear anything yet. So that's going to be an interesting game. I mean, if they're not, then Minnesota's, I don't know, I don't see them beating Detroit this week.
Yeah, Minnesota struggled against Green Bay last week. Turned the ball over multiple times. Didn't run the ball with purpose like they had been before. So you kind of saw them a little exposed a little bit by Green Bay, who has in recent weeks kind of found a second or third wind.
Well, they also started a rookie quarterback too, right?
Yeah, true. But I think if you pay attention to this version of the Packers, you see the Jordan Love that they thought they were getting. He had that one touchdown throw that he just looked so much like Aaron Rodgers when he threw that ball. It was crazy. I hate saying that, but it is what it is. His understanding of getting his feet in position and his body in position to throw the ball properly and get that ball or fill right out of the sky into the wide receiver's hands.
And they play Green Bay at home too. So, and Chicago's playing really good down the stretch here.
Yes, Chicago's playing really well. Green Bay is playing really well because another thing, as good as Love has been playing, the reemergence of what's his name, the running back Aaron, Green Bay running back.
Oh, Jones, right? Aaron Jones.
Jones, right? Aaron Jones has kind of, in my opinion, uplifted the offense because then he is one of those backs that's dangerous. He's not only dangerous running the ball, but he's also dangerous as receiving the ball. And when you pair him with Dylan and what Dylan could do, and as physical as he could be, you have to come in that box. You have to try to get them off that soapbox. And the problem is you do that, and then you give Jordan Love a chance to get hot with some of these young wide receivers that are pretty deadly down the field. And it'll be interesting game to see, man, because like I said, the Bears got sweat from Washington, and I don't think he's lost a step. He's still a problem. He's a major problem, man, down there. And that was a great signing by the Bears. Fields has been playing better. DJ Moore is just,
He's had a great season.
Yeah, you know, so there's a lot of good football coming up, man. I can't wait. To me, the stakes for what it is, to me, man, I gotta watch all these games. You know, I can't wait.
And then the AFC the NFC South is still open, and that's thanks to, I'm surprised Tampa Bay lost last week. That was a game they had to win. So now they're kind of stuck. So now they got Carolina this week, which they should win, obviously. And then you look on
And Carolina has been hot lately, which is crazy.
Wins in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then you look on the other side, Atlanta, New Orleans. That's the other game that's going to determine this division. But if Tampa Bay could win outright, they're done, right? They win. If Tampa wins and if Green Bay wins, then that's your playoff. It's if those teams lose. That's when things.
Yeah, once Tampa is in control, Tampa has to win. If they lose, that's it.
Yeah.
But New Orleans only gets it if Tampa loses. So
they lose, that opens up the door for either the New Orleans Saints or the Falcons to come in and take that division.
Yeah. It's
crazy. It would be.
The Saints is they're as enigmatic as their quarterback.
Yep.
He could give you 300 and something games, 3 touchdown game, and or he could give you, you know, 190 yard passing,
exactly,
2 interceptions. If you've been in the league for that long and you still could play like this, I just don't understand it, you know. Right. But they're very talented. You know, they could run the ball. You know, they have pretty good wide receivers, talented wide receivers, and a quarterback that could still throw the ball downfield. But like I said, you don't know when he's going to do it correctly. Sometimes he'll throw it to the other team.
We almost signed him.
Yeah. I know. Imagine but guess what? He would have been better than what we had, though. I'll tell you that.
Without a doubt. There's not many that would be worse. Let's say it that way.
Yeah, let's put it that way. Yes.
So yeah, there's some big games, man. I like you said, you can't wait. I love when there's spots and there's divisions still open up, going into the last week. So there is still a lot of suspense going on this week. Some big games, like I said, Saturday night. Remember, Saturday you got Baltimore. Pittsburgh at Baltimore on ABC, and then the Saturday night game, Houston at Indianapolis, which is going to be, I think, awesome.
Yes.
And then Sunday night, obviously, Buffalo at Miami. Another thing that came up this week that we need to talk about, is the finalists for the Hall of Fame. I think it was 15 names that came up? I broke down the guys that I thought were going to go in, but let me get the list. Here it is. They named the finalists for the Hall of Fame that they're going to vote on. I'm going to read them off to you. Eric Allen, Jared Allen, Willie Anderson, Jahari Evans, Dwight Freeney, Antonio Gates, Randy Gratishar from the seniors or the seniors committee, Rodney Harrison, Devin Hester, Torrey Holt, Andre Johnson, Steve McMichael, another seniors, Buddy Parker, another seniors, Julius Peppers, Art Powell, another seniors committee, Fred Taylor, Reggie Wayne, Patrick Willis, and Darren Woodson. So I wrote a couple of names down, but let me ask you, like, do you have any guys that in particular that, because they all deserve to get in, let's be honest. These guys are all great players. Are there any there that step?
I have a difference of opinion here.
Okay.
The Hall of Fame, your career has to tell a story of domination, and you have to stand out above all else. I think all of us have come to an understanding that most pro players, most NFL players are great players. And they will put up numbers. So you have to differentiate yourselves from the best. That's how you end up in the hall.
Yep.
Unfortunately, in recent years, in my opinion, there's guys that have been put in the hall that are great players. But I don't think they differentiated themselves from the best. They were just the best. And in no way am I trying to minimize when I say what the best is, because, like, again, for you to be one of the best, you have to be one of the 0.1% or 0.1%, I mean, that did it. So you were already great. Right?
Yep.
But those guys that ended up with those jackets, they were 0.001. Darren Woodson. Peppers. Those are the guys I think of when you tell me that are better. Because if I remember watching Woodson play, right?
Mm-hmm.
Smart. High football IQ. Almost every time he made a play, he sticks in my head. I haven't watched him play football in years. And I could tell you, I could remember off the top of my head multiple plays. It's almost like he was better than the best. That's what I think of when I think of a guy that wears a gold jacket. Julius Peppers.
Definitely. Me, yeah.
Freak.
Yeah.
Freak.
Yep.
Don't make no sense why his arms were that long and why he played for that long and why he, for some, set the edge and rushed the passer the way he did. One of the best, but also separated himself from the best. He was the 0.01%. You know, so no disrespect to guys. Some of the names, but I just don't believe these guys belong on those lists. And it's no disrespect, man. This is the thing. When you say that, you're like, oh, you think he's trash? No, they can't be. They're on a list with some of the greatest, greatest, great, greatest. There's right. No disrespect, man. It's just that you just wasn't that dude. I don't know what to tell you. You're better than me.
Right.
You better than a college player. You better than a freaking guy that plays in the XFL. You better than a regular pro. But you ain't better than that dude, because that dude is different. Chris, I'm telling you, I know you'll disagree with me. Just think about what I'm saying.
I totally agree with what you're saying with the players you're talking about. But to me, like, you can't tell me Gates was one of the greatest tight ends to ever play this game. And if you're one of the greatest and arguably the best that played during his era, you should go into the Hall of Fame. Right?
We're talking about the Chargers tight end?
Yeah.
So you're telling me you don't think he's a Hall of Famer? That's what you're telling me.
I am saying, without a doubt, he's a Hall of Famer.
But we agree, Chris.
No, well, the names that you pointed out, I thought were the only ones you thought should go.
No. I just mentioned the ones off the top of my head.
Okay,
I'm right. Just telling you. Of course I'm telling you. I mean, come on, man. Again, I haven't watched Gates play in years. But I could remember he differentiated himself from the best. Oh. Even when the Chargers sucked. Almost, there were games where the Chargers looked like hot garbage. And at least once or twice, he would make a play where you'd be like, what the hell? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he did it for years. So I'm not against it. I could never be. You know, I definitely could you know, say that. You know.
Yeah.
But
it's hard to say no to some of these guys. That's why
I know, Chris. Chris, I'm gonna do you a solid, because I'm gonna be the bad guy. Name the names and I'm gonna go through them for you.
No. Okay. Eric Allen.
Go ahead.
Eric Allen.
Yeah, I'll give him that. I remember one specific play. I'll tell you, I remember one specific play. Every time somebody mentioned his name, there's one play I always remember when it comes to Eric Allen. So I'll give you that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Jared Allen.
I got a problem there. He was good. He had a streak going that was, yeah, I understand why he's on the list. But I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, you know why he's on the list? 136 sacks in his career.
Listen, there you go. This is hard to say, because when you say it, it sounds like you're being irreverent. You know what I mean? That's why it's hard to make these decisions as a non-football player.
Well, you know why? Here's why I wouldn't put him in this year.
Go ahead.
Because of Julius Peppers. I think Peppers was a much better, you know, he was a much better player, but that's
not only was he a much better player, that dude was a monster amongst monsters. Jared Allen was a technician. And you know what? Like you said, we may be putting him, but we're not putting him this year. I'm with you on that one. Let's argue that. Yeah. Yeah, I'd probably be comfortable with him in another year. Okay, good. Go ahead.
Willie Anderson, the tackle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, name the tackles that you know. That you know that were tackles. That their name is synonymous with playing tackle. His name comes up, no?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, he's only, think of it this way. He's just looking at his career. In 12 years, 12, 13 years, he made the Pro Bowl 4 times.
I'm sorry, but I ain't put in. Listen.
Not a guy. I would have to put in this year. I'll say it that way. Down the line, but I wouldn't put him in this year.
I can't fight you on that one.
Yeah, I didn't put him on my list.
You could move me on that one. We're good.
I have 5 guys on my list, so he's not one of them.
Okay, go ahead. Let's go.
Jahari Evans.
No.
Yeah. When I thought back, I'm like, you know what? Like you say, like when you think about this guy, do you think about him playing really well? Yeah. But do I put him in the great?
Yeah. Yep. No.
Dwight.
Really, really good player. Yes. Very true.
Dwight Freeney.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this one.
Because he's been hurt. We know how many times that guy's been hurt.
Yeah.
Great player, but he.
Great player. But yeah. He's one of those guys that would bother me.
Yeah.
That, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful, but nah, bro.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
We talked about Gates. He definitely right. Think he should get in. This guy, the senior guys, we don't know a lot about.
I'm not gonna, because I don't know too much about these.
I just remember the name Randy Gradishar. He was a linebacker for the Broncos. He was like their leader, you know, their best player for a long time, their best defensive player, or one of their best defensive players. But I just didn't see him play that much, so I'm gonna take my.
At all. How about that?
Yeah. No. Exactly.
Yeah.
Rodney Harrison.
No.
Hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, I was on the fence with him. I didn't put him down on my list, so no.
Again, great player.
Right.
Again, man, it just seems irreverent to say this. But was he the safety of all safeties? Like some of the guys we know when we talk about safety?
No. No way.
Exactly. So I'm sorry.
Just a little background in 2 Pro Bowls for him in his career.
Yeah, okay. I think that spells it out.
Yeah. Devin Hester. Here's why I vote for him, okay? Because people say...
Thank you very much.
On offense, yeah, he wasn't... Look at his numbers. He wasn't great.
I don't care. Right. Why are we talking about him as an offensive player?
That's what I'm
saying. He was what he was. Everybody knows. Again, when you think about Devin Hester playing football, there is... about 10 different plays you could come up in your head that sticks out of your head.
He was probably the best.
And my memory sucks. I'm telling you right now, I'm sitting right there and I remember at least 10 plays of him doing things where I'm like, how?
Just think of him in the Super Bowl, right? Against the Colts.
Yeah, bro, what? What? Everybody knows that he's going to get the ball. Everybody knows that he's going to try to retain it for a touchdown and nobody could touch him.
The reason why I want him in is that there's not enough special team players in general in the Hall of Fame, and I think they should start getting acknowledged. And I'm talking
about
return guys, punters, kickers, you know, and just...
They're part of the game, too. And yeah. They're part of the game, too. And there's guys that, again, that were the men amongst boys that needs to be in the Hall. I agree with that.
Torrey Holt.
I'm on the fence.
Yeah.
I have a lot of love for Torrey Holt, man. I really do. But I don't think he's a Hall of Fame player, bro.
See, I think he is, but...
Wow.
But no, okay. But here's the but. When I look when I look at this ballot, I'm not going to put 2 wide receivers in. I'm only going to put 1 in my mind. And he's not the guy I want in.
Okay.
Out of the 3 that's on.
All right. I'm a ride with you because, yeah, I'm not really... I'm not with him, no.
Andre Johnson.
Yeah, you got me on that one.
I wouldn't put him in over Torrey Holt. or the guy that I wanted. I want to see Reggie Wayne get in. I thought he was the best out of these three that we're talking about.
I agree. If you're going to tell me, if you're going to list those three players, Reggie Wayne was the better wide receiver.
Yeah. That's my mind. That's how I'm thinking. So are they going to put two receivers in? I don't think so. So if I'm only putting in one, I'm going to put in Reggie Wayne.
I agree. And I loved Andre Johnson.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But he's a great player. Yeah. But that's the problem. When you're talking about a gold jacket, man, you could be a great player, but can't you? But you sometimes you're just not the man.
Right.
I don't know what to tell you.
Like Andre Johnson, 8-time Pro Bowler. Torrey Holt, 7-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
So these guys were great.
That to me, that is why the argument. That's why it comes down to what I said. You could say whatever you want, but the players that were Hall of Fame players are the men amongst boys. They basically separated themselves. Imagine being the greatest of the great.
Yeah.
That's what to me. That's what it is. And that's what Reggie Wayne was, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know.
I don't think they get in yet. I think Reggie Wayne does. I don't think the other two guys get in this.
I think Johnson goes after. I think Johnson goes after.
Yeah.
If Johnson would be the second guy I would think. Because I respect the game. Definitely respect the game. Yeah.
This is the only senior guy that I actually really seen a good amount of was Steve McMichael from the Bears.
Nope. Never watch him.
Yeah. At first, I was like, yes and no. I was kind of on the fence with him. And I still kind of am. I'm not going to say he should definitely get in, but he had, you know, 2-time Pro Bowler in 11 seasons, tackle-wise. He did, you know what, for a defensive tackle, the guy had 95 sacks. That's a lot for a tackle.
You got to respect that kind of game now.
Yeah. Like, you know, when you have that many sacks for a tackle, you know, you're in like the top, I would say top 10 or top. Yeah, definitely in the top 10.
Yeah, you up there. Yeah, most definitely. Yep.
And I didn't know he had that many, to be honest. I had to look that up. So that impressed me. So from the.
Well, I understand why he's in the list then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Another senior guy, Buddy Parker, who I knew nothing about. So Julius Peppers, we spoke about. Definitely, I think he's getting in. Another R. Powell. Another senior guy, which I don't know much about. He was actually on the Titans, which was the Jets before the
game. Oh, wow. Okay.
Receiver, so. Fred Taylor. See, that's a tough one, because.
That is a tough one, because I like Fred Taylor, man. I really like Fred Taylor. I really did. And if you gotta remember those Seattle, you gotta remember those.
Well, he was on the Jags, games. Right?
I mean, sorry, Jags. Thank you, Chris. You gotta remember that. You gotta remember, in my opinion, when you want as a team, if you're gonna play the Jags, yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy you had to stop.
Yeah, you had to stop him, and you just couldn't. You just couldn't, because more often than not on a Sunday, he would beat you up.
And you know what? Here's what bothers me. And I'm surprised at this too. In his career, he's only had one Pro Bowl.
That's why the whole Pro Bowl thing is not a measuring stick for me, man. Like what the numbers look like.
You know what I mean?
I remember, like, you see when you tell me players, like, I'm trying to remember if I remember a couple plays where they stood out, and I remember a game against, I'll tell you who they were, was it the Colts? I think it was the Colts they were playing in one game, where he basically, like, ran off tackle, spin into a linebacker, spin off of another linebacker, juked another corner, a safety, and then ran for like, I think like 60 some yards or something like that. And like, that wasn't something you saw a lot of back then. And the fact that he did it, and then I think he ran for like 160 some yards that game or some crap like that. I don't remember what it was, but it sticks out to me. There are plays that I remember with that in my opinion, sticks out when it comes to him. The problem is,
I don't think he had the longevity either.
Yeah.
No, he had like 17th in career rushing yards.
Because that's why all these other guys ended up having all these numbers, and he didn't. It's because he didn't have the longevity.
Yeah.
But I remember his career vividly. That's one of the reasons why it's kind of bothering me. But yeah, I'll put it to you this way: I wouldn't be bothered if he wasn't taken. I still got a lot of respect for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he's going to get in it this year.
But, yeah, I agree with you. I'm with you.
Reggie Wayne, we spoke about, definitely.
Uh-huh.
This one's interesting. Patrick Willis.
That is interesting because I know, again, vividly understood the kind of player that was. The problem is he didn't play as long as we wanted him to.
He played 7 full seasons.
That dude was supposed to be the legendary freaking linebacker, the freaking scary monster in the dark kind of linebacker that we know, in my opinion, that would fall on the list of guys like Ray Lewis and those middle linebackers of that generation. And the fact that he only played 7 seasons sickens my stomach every time.
Yep.
Every time.
He played 7 because seasons and he made the all-decade team for the 2010s.
Bro, that's what I'm telling you. That dude was. This is, you see, Chris, if you argued and told me you want to put him in, I wouldn't fight you. Even if he had a short career. Because right. This dude, you remember Sean Taylor, right? The safety for the Washington Redskins that got killed in the home invasion. If you watch Sean Taylor play in college and you watch him play in the NFL for the short time he played in the NFL, you just knew that dude was different. He was completely different. It's the same thing for me with Willis.
Yeah.
He was on the level of the Ray Lewis and all the other. Name a middle linebacker. Name a monster middle linebacker that you knew. And Willis was that guy.
Yep.
So I, to tell you the truth, I put him in.
Yeah,
because to me, I'm putting him in because he stood up. He stood high above the trees, within tall trees. amongst tall trees, he stood among. Yeah. I'm with putting him in, definitely.
And then the final one that you spoke, Darren Woodson.
Yeah. Where did you disagree with me or you agree with me?
No, I was kind of on the fence with him. But I'm okay with him going in because he was just that good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was just yeah. Yeah. Scary good for especially for the time we're talking about too.
Yeah, and I think
didn't he have like 2 careers? Basically, how long did he play for? I'm trying to remember.
He played for what, 12 years? 1, 2, 3. Yeah, 12 years. 5-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All Pro.
Yeah,
the biggest thing too was 3-time Super Bowl champ.
Yeah. Yep.
You can't overlook that. I know.
Yeah, and especially the plays he came up with too, you know.
Great team. Yeah, don't get me wrong.
Great team. No, that's a definite thing. I agree.
But when you're part of those kind of teams, yeah, that definitely puts you in a different, you know, different discussion for sure.
Agreed.
That's why a lot of the guys from the Cowboys, like when you look at Troy Aikman, right? Was he the greatest?
No, I know where you're going.
The guy won 3 Super Bowls. You can't just
can you argue with that? No, you can't.
You can't. Eli Manning. That's the Eli is the big argument, right?
Always.
Other than
but he won 2 Super Bowls. What are you gonna say?
Right.
And not only did he win two Super Bowls, he basically willed them to win 2 Super Bowls.
Right.
I used to argue against it too myself, but the more the years have passed, the more I respect the hustle. I definitely do.
You got it. Just for those 2 years. I get it. The rest of his career was, you know, average or a little bit above average. You know, it wasn't Hall of Fame, but those 2 years were like put him into the Hall of Fame. You know, the longevity, the numbers he put up. You got to put him in. You know,
if you're better than him and you didn't win two Super Bowls, well, shut up.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So anyway, that's our show. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the final week, final regular season week of the NFL, which is crazy to think how quickly the season went.
Very quickly.
But enjoy it. And next week we'll be talking playoffs. Which is awesome too. Unfortunately, not Jets, but we'll be getting into the draft in a few weeks after the season for sure. But until then, enjoy the games.
Yes, guys, take it easy.